because he loves you and me. God walked the dark hills to guide my footsteps. He walked everywhere, by night, by day.
Turn to start this morning in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Revelation, chapter 6. I am preaching this message because I want you in this congregation to become so settled and so arrested in your faith about the soon coming of the Lord that nobody, and I mean nobody, can create questions in your mind. Now, you know, if anybody can create a question in your mind, that they have opened you up to the devil and to being deceived. If they can create a question in your mind, you are in a vulnerable condition. You're in a vulnerable state. So I want you to get this Bible and the coming of the Lord so fixed in your mind, in your heart, that nobody can make you doubt. That nobody can make you doubt. Are you listening to me? That anybody comes with something else, you don't even begin to doubt. I reached a place that I don't trust any negativity from the devil. I know that when he comes against me with negativity, I must not open my mind up to it. I must stay anchored in the truth. Somebody say amen if I'm right. How many believe you got to be anchored in the truth and you just don't let nobody make you doubt? You just don't let nobody create in your mind some feeling of maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, no. I know what this book says and I'm not going to allow it. Amen. All right, are you ready? You got your Bible open and you're going to keep it open, okay? Even after you're seated. You're going to keep your Bible open. Go to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15. Revelation 6 and 15. Now, I want to establish first this morning that the coming 7 years of the great tribulation is indeed the wrath of God. It is not a tribulation like we now are experiencing, and that's one of the things they use. No. It's not even anything close. We're talking about the wrath of God on this earth. Okay? Revelation 6 and verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every freeman. Now this is a vision that John is seeing. He is witnessing these people, and he's identifying them. And he puts it in such a form as to be completely comprehensive, to cover everybody, nobody excluded, nobody excluded. And it says, and the freemen hid themselves, that's all this crowd, hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now this is a vision that John is seeing. It's not these people that are giving John these words. This is the vision, and John is seeing the picture that God is showing him. And the great day of the wrath is come. For the great day of the wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Now that scripture identifies the 7 year tribulation period. It started in the first verse of the same chapter. And it was Jesus who opened the seals and showed John this revelation vision, this drama, as you please, of this thing, very thing that's going to happen. And all this multitude of men and women are standing there, or they're hiding now, and they're crying out for the mountains and the rocks to fall on them. And they identify why. Because the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Father, help me preach this morning. This message is really on my heart, and I want to be patient. I want to be careful. I want to take my time, and I want to say the things that will help this congregation to be so set in the great truth of the Bible and so fixed in what they understand about this Bible that nothing can change them. Father, we're living in a day that there are change agents everywhere. The church is full of them. The educational realm is full of them. The economic realm is full of them. The political world is full of them. But we must not be subject to the change agents that will change us and steal our faith. And I claim a miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. You got your Bible open. And we're going to study together and hear together. Now, I want to give you the title, Absolute Proof of the Rapture Before the Great Wrath of God. Absolute Proof of the Rapture Before the Great Wrath of God. Now, I have showed you that in the very first chapter, when the tribulation period has begun, the first chapter, chapter 6, is where the tribulation period begins. The opening of the seven sealed book. And in the first chapter, John hears the multitude as they call that occasion by its rightful name. The great wrath of God has come. Everybody understand that? The great wrath of God has come. So we know in this picture, we are entering into the 7 years of the great wrath of God. The great wrath of God. And we've got to understand that the saints of God will not be here. The whole idea of a pre-tribulation rapture simply means before the judgment of God begins, he will rapture his church out of the world. That's simply what it means. Can you write that in your mind? Can you get that in your understanding? Make a note somewhere, because it is so very, very important. Now, if we can understand that the great day of the wrath, the great day of God's judgment on this earth, is what the 7 years is all about, that really solves most of the argument. There's not much left, Brother Marlon, when you know that those 7 years are the years of great wrath. When you know that, I mean it's really taken care of. How can the bride of Jesus Christ be here for the great wrath of God? It flies in the face of God's Bible from one place to the other. The Lamb of God is the one who opens these seals. The Son of God. The Son of God is the picture of this whole event. It's very clearly something that he is doing. Now, take your Bible and go all the way back with me into Genesis. Let's just spend a few minutes there. Not long. But I want you to get a feeling of the very teaching of the Old Testament before we move to the New Testament. The Old Testament lays a pattern. Everything in the Old Testament is harmonious with everything in the New Testament. They blend together. I love the old saying, the New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. When you read the Old Testament, if you don't know the New Testament is concealed, you will not see it except by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But when you get to the New Testament, it just brings to light the great truths of the Old Testament and makes them blend together like one beautiful picture. Well, here is the day of Noah. Noah has been commissioned by God to build an ark. The ark is for the saving of his family. The ark is for the saving of the believers. The ark is for those who are righteous in this world that has become a cesspool of filth, a cesspool of wickedness. And so God commissions Noah to build an ark. And Noah builds an ark. And I'll just read one verse in chapter 7 and verse 16. Chapter 7 and verse 16. We are told and we understand that it probably took Noah 100 years to build that ark. It was massive. It was massive. Two of every animal that God had created could be on that ark. And in many cases, more than two of the clean animals. Of the clean animals. And so that's a picture of itself. But in verse 16, and they that went in male and female, male and female of flesh, as God had commanded him, that's Noah, and the Lord shut him in. What did that say? And the Lord shut him in. That gives us a picture of how important this ark was. It was a means of safety for those who were believers and who were faithful to God. It was a means of separating the righteous from the wicked who were about to be judged and destroyed. God never, 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 you show me one place in this Bible that God ever judged the righteous with the wicked, and I will apologize to you and everybody on the radio stations that I am on and the internet that we are on. I'm here to tell you, God does not judge his righteous people with the wicked people. And here is a picture of God looking upon the world that had become a cesspool. And God said, the Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you find grace in his eyes this morning? Are you so living that God looks upon you with grace? Are you so walking before him that you have grace in the eyes of the Lord? Well, that's the picture we have of Noah. He and his wife and his sons and their wives had grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God calls him into the ark. In fact, when God says to go into the ark, he don't say go into the ark. He said come into the ark. For the ark was an instrument of God. The ark was an instrument of God. And God shut to the door. I like that. And God shut to the door. Now, go a little further in Genesis to chapter 19. There's another story that fits the same scenario. And we have in this story, the story of Lot. Lot was a nephew of Abraham. And Lot had foolishly gone into Sodom and Gomorrah and had become part of the very citizens and the atmosphere that existed in that wicked city. It was a city of Sodomites. It was a city of Sodomites. And I want to tell you something. The Sodomites in that city wasn't as wicked as the Sodomites in America. I guarantee you the condition of America right now is worse than the condition was in Sodom and Gomorrah. I have no record in the Bible of there being any same-sex marriage. I have no record in the Bible of them becoming enchanted with the transgenders. Those who are women but claim to be men are men and claim to be women. There was none of that. If it had been, I believe the Bible would have told us. They were simply Sodomites. They had not degenerated to the level that now sodomy has degenerated. And so God purposes to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in that particular area. And God prepares to do so. Sends angels down into the city. They go to check it out because God don't make no mistakes. He does everything calculated properly and perfectly by righteousness and by the laws of his divine kingdom. So God is always pure in his conduct. And so God sends two angels down and they go down to check out the city. And what do they find? They find a bunch of Sodomites that even try to abuse and to attack the angels. The angels became a subject of these evil creatures, these evil men and women, I guess women, but at least men, and they became so determined that God had to stop them. And so God tells Lot to get his family out. And Lot goes and preaches to his sons, his son-in-laws, and his daughters, and I don't know how many grandchildren he may have had, but he goes and preaches, and they seem to him like a foolish man. They are so enchanted. They are so enthralled. They have become so attached. They have become so compromised. They have become so reprobate that they pay Lot no attention. Do you see the parallel? Do you see how similar it is to our world today? Do you understand that mamas and daddies are watching their sons and their daughters and their grandchildren absolutely determined to serve the world and the devil and everything of the world and will not listen to you when you try to preach the gospel of Jesus to them? Same thing. Lot had it right there in Sodom and Gomorrah hundreds of thousands of years ago. And finally, as the angels are trying to get Lot out before the judgment falls, listen to what has to happen. Chapter 19 and verses 22. Chapter 19, I'm just giving you little bits of these stories so you get the message. Genesis chapter 19, 22. Haste thee, escape thither. These are angels talking to Lot. For I cannot do anything till thou art come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Now listen. God says to Lot, come out of the city because we can't do anything until thou art come thither out of the city. Did you know? You say the tribulation period's already here. It can't be here. Because God's got some lots all over this globe. And those lots are men and women of faith who belong to Jesus Christ. Hopefully, most of them have not done the wicked things that old Lot had done. But I want to tell you something. This whole thing is on a roll. It's on a roll toward hell. But I want to tell you, we that are full of the Holy Ghost have the restrainer that lives inside of us. And if you will trust in the Holy Ghost with every bit of your heart. I wish I could convince people to quit going to churches that have compromised and quit being part of churches that no longer preach these wonderful truths and do not preach the book of Revelation. And many in these churches are forgetting the pre-trib rapture truths of the Bible because compromise has set in. But I'm here to tell you, God can do nothing about this darkness coming until he takes us out of here. That's God's plan. How many believe that? Let me see your hand. Raise it. Wait. Let God know you're hearing what the Bible says. See, these are principles of the Bible. These are principles of the Bible. We don't take the Bible lightly. We don't take none of it lightly. Now let's go to the book of Isaiah. Oh, I tell you, I had people giving me scriptures this morning because they knew what I was going to preach, and I already had more than I could get to. But I thank you, Brother Danny, for giving me others. I will get to them. But I'm here to tell you, I found scriptures this week that are so powerful, and I maybe will get to some of that to prove to you this great rapture before the judgment starts. Amen. Now go to Isaiah. You got your Bible open. 26, Isaiah 26. There is no greater prophet that's ever walked on two feet than the prophet Isaiah. What a statesman writer. What a great man of God. What a man of tremendous levity with the Father himself. He even had a vision of God and saw him in his glory. His train filled the temple. And Isaiah was so moved by that great vision in Isaiah 6. It is beautiful indeed. And so we have a man of God here talking. A man of God. Listen to him. Isaiah 26, 19. You got that? Now listen. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body. Shall they arise, awake, and sing, ye that dwell in the dust? For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Are you hearing that? The earth is going to do what? Cast out the dead. Now, what is he talking about? Well, we know he's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about the saints of God buried in the earth that's going to be resurrected. He's talking about the coming great day when the saints of God are resurrected. That's nothing else he could be dealing with. That's plain. I don't think anybody I know of doubts that. But look at the next verse. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber. Whose chamber? Ours. Thy chamber. The chamber of the righteous. The chamber of the resurrected here. Enter into thy chamber. Shut the door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little season, a little moment, until the indignation. What is indignation? That's wrath. Until the wrath be overpassed. Now, are you looking at that great passage? Isaiah 26, three verses. I'll read the third verse in just a moment. Here's a picture of the resurrection. Here's a picture of the saints of God buried in the earth, but now the day of their resurrection has come. And when they are resurrected, something special happens. They enter into a chamber, into a hiding place. They enter into a place of protection. They enter into a place set apart. They enter into a place prepared for them. It is called their chamber. It is called their chamber because it's prepared for them. And what do they do there? They hide themselves, as it were, for a little moment until the wrath of God be overpassed. Are you getting the message? I'm taking my time. I want you to love these scriptures. I want them to become part of your mind and thinking. You ought to learn them and quote them to those who would question you. Take them to Isaiah 26 and just read them this picture of an Old Testament saint of God who is prepared to be buried but then resurrected and enter to what happens to them. They are hid away for a moment while the indignation of God passes through the earth. All right, what happened to Noah? What happened to Lot down in Sodom and Gomorrah? The exact same thing. A place of hiding. A place to escape. Now verse 21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. I mean, the wrath of God is coming. But before the wrath of God comes, the dead are going to be cast out of the earth. The righteous dead. They're going to be caught up to a place of hiding, a place of protection, a place where the Lord has prepared for them. And they'll be with him while the indignation, the wrath of God floods the earth. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the wicked of the earth. I'm here to tell you what's happening in Washington, what's happening with same-sex marriage, what's happening with abortion of babies, what's happening with transgenders, what's happening with the wickedness and the hatred for this old time gospel of Jesus Christ is preparing this world, and God is coming out of his place, and he's going to punish the wicked. He's going to punish the unholy, but he's going to first get us and take us to a prepared place where we're going to be hid away with him while the judgment of God fills the earth. Somebody shout hallelujah. Is this plain enough for anybody to understand? Is this plain enough that there's no way to doubt it? Now, you've already saw Sodom and Gomorrah. You've already saw Noah's day. You now see what's going to happen here according to Isaiah. Let's go to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. I love this book. I've enjoyed it for many years. Three verses. Go to chapter 3 and verse 15. No, 16. I'm sorry. Malachi, last book before Matthew, okay, last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, then go to chapter 3, then go to verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Now, take that verse. Don't read the next verse until I get there, okay? Don't get ahead of me. But I want you to notice what kind of people he's talking about here. People that fear the Lord. People that talk about him everywhere they go. People that all they can think about is how much they love God. How much they love his kingdom. People that are just so caught up in the Lord and so sold out to the Lord that he's the center of their life. They live for him. They live for his glory. And he even has a book of remembrance in which he writes down their name. Now, you know what I call that book? I call that book the roll call for the rapture. The book of the roll call for the rapture. He's keeping a list, friend. Whether they're in the grave or whether they're walking on this earth, he's keeping a list of people that are sold out to Jesus, that are sold out to the kingdom, that rather talk about the Lord than to talk about some game or some fun thing or anything in the world. They just are in love with him. Are you in love with him like this? Had you rather be in church and to be somewhere of the world? Had you rather be loving the Bible and reading the scripture than playing some foolish thing on an internet? Hey, what is your love? What do you love the most? He says because they love him, because they talk about him, because they meditate on him, because he's the center of their life. He wrote their name in this book. Now let's see what he does with them. Would you like to know what he does with that crowd? Anybody want to know? Let me see your hand. Let's look at the next verse. It is powerful indeed. And they shall be mine when I make up my jewels, said the Lord of hosts. And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Are you listening? And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Now you go anywhere in that Bible and you find any crowd of people that are called his jewels, but the bride of Jesus Christ. You go anywhere in the Holy Scripture, and this has to be the sainted crowd, the godly crowd, the holy crowd, the set-apart crowd, the crowd that loved Jesus with all their hearts. And he said, they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. Now notice, that's not all he said. And I will spare them. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serveth him. Now, what is God sparing them for? What is God keeping them out of? What is God protecting them about? What is this whole thing that Malachi, in a prophetic message in the Old Testament, when he may not have even understood all that he was saying himself, but he was prophesying. It was the Holy Ghost talking. He was speaking as the Holy Ghost gave him words. And he talked about this crowd of people that love God, who think about him, who love him. Their names are written in a book of remembrance. And the Lord's going to spare them when he makes up his jewels, hallelujah, and he's going to spare them from what? And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between them that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now, don't put that scripture, don't forget that verse. And they shall return. What is he talking about? We'll study the book of Revelation. We go up in the rapture in chapter 4. We come back in chapter 20. And we come back riding on white horses. And we come back to judge the world and help him set everything straight for a 1,000-year millennial reign. Hallelujah. And so here is an Old Testament prophet who did not maybe understand everything he was saying, but he laid it out precisely, point by point, word by word. He made it plain that he's coming to get those who are his. They're his jewels. He's going to catch them away, but he's going to bring them back with him when the 7 years are over. Right. Somebody raise a hand and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Dixie, shout hallelujah with me, will you? Hallelujah. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. I'm going to tell you something, church. We're in for something unreal. It is so far beyond human understanding. He's coming to get his jewels. Hallelujah. And I'm trying my level best to be one of those jewels. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm sanctified by the blood of Jesus. I'm full of his Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. And he's coming to get his jewels. And then he's going to bring them back to set this world straight. Now, that's Old Testament. All of that's Old Testament. I could stop right here. And if you doubt the preacher of rapture, then you just didn't get those scriptures. That's all I know. I mean, it's plain. It's very clear. And I love it. I love it. But you see, that's Old Testament. That's the writers of the Old Testament laying out the future, which we would see in the New Testament. Everything in that Old Testament is as pure as gold that's been purified seven times over. I want you to understand that. Every word of that Old Testament is the word of God. Don't you let anybody put one word of it out. Don't you let them say to you, well, I don't think you can apply that. I know you can apply that. There's nothing else to apply it to. There's not another event in human history. There's not another event about to happen you can apply all of that to. It's just that plain. It's just that very, very beautiful. Now, I've given you an Old Testament picture, and it really is beautiful. It's breathtaking. But let's go to the New Testament. Now, everybody that studies the Old Testament will know that judgment is coming. I mean, judgment is just plain coming. It has to come. God cannot be righteous and not judge this wicked world. Do you understand that? Well, Paul, Apostle Paul, we all love to study the life of Apostle Paul. And of course, as you know, I'm writing a book on that, and I'm being so blessed. But I want you to see something. Apostle Paul wrote his first book. He wrote 14 of 27 books in the New Testament, 14 written by Apostle Paul. He wrote the first one called 1 Thessalonians. It was written to the church at Thessalonica. It was written to the church at Thessalonica. They were suffering intently. Their city was a hotbed of hatred against the gospel, against the message of the Lord. It was really a great witness that was going on with him. And I want you to see what he said. This is 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Now he's talking to the saints at Thessalonica. They just got saved. I mean, this church has just been established no more than a few months. No more than a few months. Paul's down at Corinth, and Timothy and Silas, he sent back to Thessalonica, and they took this book with them because they were having confusion. And in this book, Apostle Paul lays out some things for them. Let me read you verse 10 of chapter 1. And to wait for the Son from heaven, to wait for Jesus from heaven, whom the Father raised from the dead, even Jesus. Now listen, which delivered us from the wrath to come. How many got that? Did you get that? Let me see your hand if you heard that. Which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, here's Paul preaching to a bunch of new Christians. They haven't been saved long. They just come out of heathenism. They just come out of the dark world of the wicked devil and all his evil stuff. I mean, they were brand new. And he writes them and tells them that we are to wait for the Lord Jesus to come from heaven. For the Father has raised him from the dead that he might deliver us from the wrath to come. The wrath was coming. They knew it. The Old Testament was full of it. They knew darkness was descending on their world. They knew the devil was trying to destroy everything pure and holy. They knew that God had to judge all this wicked world. But Paul is saying to them, you don't need to worry. The Lord raised from the dead. The Father raised him from the dead to deliver you from the wrath to come. Now, God raised Jesus because he's the first fruits of the resurrection. We are going to be the second fruits of the resurrection. Hallelujah. And what a day that's going to be. And what's he going to do when he raises us? He's going to deliver us from the wrath to come. Now, you say the rapture like this. The rapture. Come on, say it with me. The rapture is God's event to deliver his people from the wrath to come. From the wrath to come. It cannot be called nothing else. Now, I've already identified in chapter 6 that the wrath begins at the beginning of that 7-year period. Did you hear me do that in my very text this morning? Chapter 6, John saw them crying out, deliver us, because the great day of his wrath is come. Well, we can't be here because Jesus was resurrected to save us from the wrath to come. Somebody shout hallelujah. 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 Well, there are so many scriptures. But let me take you back to Luke. Oh, I wish I could give you all, but it would take several hours. But go back with me to Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. This is a good one. This is Jesus talking. This is Jesus laying this whole truth out, trying to make sure we understand it. No misunderstanding. Let's begin reading, if we might, at verse 34. And take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all those that dwell on the face of the whole earth. The wrath's coming. the next time, or the first time, I should say, you're going about your business at 2 o'clock on an afternoon, and the sun goes out. You're going to say, what in the world caused that? Are any of these events taking place all over the world? I am so amazed. I mean, I shiver. I shake. After that event in Texas this week, Dallas, and the killing of 5 policemen by this assassination, I'm here to tell you, I was gloomy for 2 days. I was sad. That spirit of the Antichrist is coming like a storm. It's coming all over our world. It's coming, he said, as a snare. Notice that. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Anybody know the wrath of God's coming? Well, let me read you the next verse. Watch ye therefore. Read that with me. Watch ye therefore. Everybody in here, say that with me. Watch ye therefore. Why are we watching? What are we watching for? Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God. You know what? To preach this great message I'm preaching this morning, all you really need is those words of Jesus. You don't really need anything else. That's as plain as the nose on your face. He said it's coming on this earth like a snare. It's coming unexpectedly and suddenly. There won't be no CNN announcement. There won't be no Fox News announcement. There won't be no internet announcement. You won't see it on the Twitter. You won't see it on the Facebook. You're not going to see that he's going to be here today at any point, but suddenly that judgment and darkness is coming. I want you to know it's coming, but watch ye therefore that ye may escape. Oh, Brother Chambers, are you an escapist? Absolutely, I'm an escapist. When I know about that tribulation period, Brother Dylan, I'm an escapist. When I know how dark it's going to get and how the hell is going to be poured out on this world, when I understand that you're not going to be allowed to get married in a biblical fashion, man to woman, but the marriages will all be sodomites, men and men, and women and women. You're not going to, even our school here starting this year with the bathrooms open to people with transgender desires. I want to tell you something, folks. I don't want to be. I'm an escapist. I want to get out of here. Hallelujah. I said, I want to get. Do you ladies want to get out of here? Do you want to get out of here, ladies? You want to get out of here, brother Derek? Do you want to get out of here, Brother Allen? How about you over there, Brother Terry? How many of you are escapists? Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not an escapist when it comes to doing my part till he comes. But when he comes, I'm leaving. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory, glory, church. Now, I've given you enough scriptures to prove it, but I've got to give you a couple more. I know, time's up, but just be patient with me just a moment, just a moment, just a moment. Go with me, if you would, to Revelation 3 and 10. This is one of the greatest passages in this Bible. I mean, this you really don't need anything but this when you think about it. Revelation 3 and 10. Revelation 3 and 10. The Lord's talking to his churches. And he says, verse 10 of Revelation 3, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. The reason I said to Mama this morning, I know it's a tough time. No air condition, no water. You know, I had to bring in some water to wash your hands in. I had to do a, what do you call a bath when you take a cold, wet rag and just rub your body with it? I don't know what you call it. I forgot. I know it, but I can't say it. That's the kind of bath I got this morning. I mean, really. That's been since Friday. It's okay. I don't mind. What do you do when things like this happen? I double down. I just say, no, thank you, Lord. You know exactly what you're doing. It's all in your hands. I'm just trusting you, and I'm going to do your will. I'm going to shout hallelujah. I'm gonna praise you and bless you. I'm going to live a life holy and surrender to you. You're the center of my life. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to escape this, and I'm going to be gone. He said, because thou hast kept my word, of my patience, I will keep thee from. Are you reading Revelation 3 and 10? Who's got it open? Open your Bible now. You got to have this. You need to quote it. Because thou hast kept the word of my, or have kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He looked alone, said, raise your hand with me, will you? Holy cussab right there. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you've helped me 64 years to keep your patience and to wait on you and to be faithful. Even when there's dark times, even when there's enemies that just can't stand the old message you preach, just be faithful. Just be patient because I will keep thee from that temptation which shall come upon the whole world. Notice that. To try them that dwell upon the earth. Woo, hallelujah. There is no question. One more thing. Didn't think about this ever till this week. Did you know the Bible says that we are going to judge the earth? Turn with me in your Bible. Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, the writings of Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 6 and 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more then that pertaineth to this life? We're going to judge the world. Listen to me. We're going to judge the world. We're going to be witnesses of the wickedness of the world. We're going to be God's testimonials before Him in the judgment of all the ungodliness of this world. We're going to be right there giving testimony and giving proof of the wicked world that God needs to know about. Because He's going to judge rightly, and He's not just going to judge it from His foreknowledge. He's going to use our testimonies and our witness to judge accurately and precisely in every situation. And that's what the 7 years is all about. And so if we don't go up in the rapture before the 7 years, we won't be there to fulfill the scripture. You ever thought about that? I never had. Hey, we got to be there. We can't be down here during the tribulation period. That's the time of His great wrath. That's when He judges wickedness all over this world. And we're going to be there to give testimony to what this world has said and done and how they're acting. I'm going to be right there, and I'm going to say I had a president who was named Obama, and that man was one of the most wicked men that I've ever read about or heard about in my life. From the day he entered our White House, he started promoting homosexuality. He has put more homosexuals in judgeships and positions of authority than all the rest of the presidents since our beginning 250 years ago, Father Moore. I want to tell you something, friend. I want to be the judge against him. I want to stand there and help judge him. And I just may have that right, but somebody will. Or you say, I'm a Obama supporter. Well, we're praying for God to give you back your right mind, okay? Because somewhere you lost it. Oh, does anybody love me now? Let me see your hand if you still love me. Am I telling you the truth? Am I telling you the truth? Yes, you know I am. I want to tell you something, friend. We're going to judge this world, and we're going to be right there with Him when that time of 7 years starts. We're going to be around the throne. Remember, sitting on lesser thrones, 24 elders. That was symbolic of all of us. Woo, hallelujah. I believe Jesus is coming any moment. I believe He's coming any moment. And I know that this world's going to get worse and worse and worse, but there is a limit. There is a line drawn in the eternal truth of God's book. The devil can't cross that line, and he can't go but so far until God's saints, God's jewels, I like that, God's jewels, until they're caught up, those whose names are written in the book of remembrance, before all hell breaks loose, the Lord's coming to get us. He's not going to send Gabriel or Michael in the clouds himself. Did you know Jesus is actually coming to get us? How many of you knew the rapture was going to be the return of the Lord himself in the mid-air, and we'll see him up there, and he'll call us home. It's supper time, son. You've been faithful all these years since I saved you, since I found you down in Bushy Fork, working among the tobacco rows, and I saved you. You've been mine. You've been faithful. Son, come on home. It's supper time. Hallelujah. Man, am I ready to go. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a day. Would you stand? Oh, Father, I love you this morning. Father, I love you this morning. Father, I've done my best to lay in front of this people an absolute proof that you're coming before the tribulation, before the wrath of God. And you're coming to get your jewels. You're coming to get your chosen. There's no way to doubt it. I don't think there's any way to get around these verses of Scripture. How many agree that it is absolutely perfectly seen in these Scriptures? Let me see your hand. Would you raise them way up high? Come on. Shake it a little bit. Or wave it a little bit. Are you positive? Are you satisfied? Now, is there anybody in this building that's not ready to go right now? Anybody? If you're not ready, you ought to get in this altar. I wouldn't dare leave this building if I wasn't ready to leave in a moment's notice. If I had to make anything right, if I owed something unpaid, if I had some attitude, if I'd gossip about somebody, if I'd been negative about something, if I was in the wrong place, if my life was somehow out of kilter, I wasn't doing all that I know I should be doing, I tell you right now, it's time to act. It's time to move forward. It's time to give your whole life to Him. It's time to be His lock, stock, and barrel from head to toe. If I had a hair on my head that wasn't committed to Him this morning, I'd pull it out. I'd pull it out. Hallelujah. Now raise your hand. Father, thank you for your Holy Ghost. I preached the word from your book as clear as I know how. I've done my best to make absolute proof. Absolute proof. That Jesus could come at any moment. And to make sure that nobody doubts that He comes before that great wrath of God. What an hour. What an hour, Father. What an hour, Father. In Jesus' name. Now, I've done my best. I know I went over time, but.
Helped me walk up the mile.